Have you heard about clicker training for humans? If not, you can't miss today's episode with Teresa McKeon from TechTeach.
Thank you so much for joining me today in the Dark Real Talk program.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking.
I'm very happy to have you here today. And I want to talk about TechTeach because I think that many people are not yet familiar with it. And if we can start by just explaining, what is TechTeach?
To me, and I think everybody who does it may have a different opinion about how it helps them. But for me, it's a way to communicate better with my students. And for me, again, it was about efficiency. I originally was a gymnastic coach. And although I found it from animal training, when I transferred it over to working with my athletes, it wasn't about, oh, I'm going to use positive reinforcement and I'm going to be so nice. It was really, it was about clear communication and acquiring skills faster. It was a benefit that it was positive. So I actually say it's a way to communicate better with your learners, to organize your instructions to them so that they can understand better, to provide incremental steps for your learners. We do it really well with our animals. But not all the time with our humans, because we don't want to make them feel that we're talking down to them or we're going slow. But when we're acquiring skills, we need time to process that and then transfer that to the physical, from the words to the physical. And then, of course, the feedback is instant. And because it's instant, that often becomes positively reinforcing, right? Humans want to succeed. And if they know right away when they've tried it, if they're successful, that's very reinforcing. So, but to take it back a step, it originally came from when I first learned clicker training. So it's, if people say it's clicker training for humans, I sometimes cringe at that a little bit because it's more, because most humans have language. So most, but you know, some of the people who use TechTeach with children with autism or people with autism or special needs, or if I'm working with a group with doesn't have the same language, we really do go back and we can kind of capture movements with the audible mark, a clicker or the word yes, or even just a tongue click or... So it's marker based. We use the marker in TechTeach to help the teachers clarify what they want, make success apparent. Yes, you did it now. And then hopefully that leads to positive reinforcement for the learner.
Okay. So it is also a way, because I think people, when they hear exactly what you said, like a clicker training for humans, they have this image of a person sitting with a clicker and clicking and giving cookies for every correct repetition. But it's, you know, not exactly this.
And what I found was in the beginning, because it was always, if you know about clicker training, one of the rules is for every click, there's a treat, or at least some people follow the rules of one click, one treat. And so I tried to follow that rule with my learners, and I would find them going, okay, hold on to that, whatever I was giving them, right? I just want to try it again. And I went, the reinforcement is coming from success. The edible, in many, many cases, is not truly reinforcing. It's just something I thought we needed to do. But because we have language, we can make success potentially a reinforcer, or knowledge of success the reinforcer, and don't have to use an edible. So it was just so funny when the people were going, "None, hold on to that money, candy, token, whatever you were trying to give me." So it was interesting for me.
Absolutely. And it's also not only used in what you said, because you talked about you're a gymnastic, originally a gymnastic trainer, instructor, and it's not only used in this specific field, right? It can be used everywhere, actually.
Yeah. I just got off a phone call with, we're working with, I think it's the world's third largest, but the US largest fishing company. So, and they have plants all over the world where they bring the fish in and they do all the processing and turn it into whatever products. And oftentimes they have, well, the one plant I work with had 27 different dialects and about 15 different languages. And so how do you communicate all this training that they need to know if you don't speak the same language, right? So it really teaches the person to break things down into something you can either show in increments, and you can use the marker. We use the marker, one of the other groups we work with is orthopedic surgeons. And so we were working with drills and bone saws. And so that was a little loud. So sometimes we would use a flash of light as a marker. Because so that you can hear over the saw. So yeah, we work with orthopedic surgeons, we work with golfers, we work with corporate training, we work with kids with autism, dog trainers. So it really doesn't matter. If a person needs to learn, the concepts follow.
Yeah.
Because it's for the teacher, and so whatever the teacher teaches, so it doesn't matter that it's just a specific learner. It matters it's teacher training with a benefit for the learner.
Okay. And it helps because I think that usually, because this is my field, so dog training, and dog trainers often go into the business because they want to work with animals. And what usually we do is work with humans to work with animals. And we forget very often what you said with breaking the skill into tiny pieces for our dog owner and that we work with, and Tech Teach can be extremely helpful in this.
Yeah, because we do pick a certain thing that you would mark and say, yes, you did it correctly, but it has a lot of parameters on that. And so we can't just do what I call passion talking, blah, 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 blah. And you do this because, and it's really important that you don't because, okay, try it. and now they're going, try what? You just, yeah. So again, it's all about me as a teacher, it's a tool for me to go, okay, I passion talked. I got out everything I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Now I need to turn my words through a tool for the learner. And that's got to be smaller because usually when we use Tag Teach, it's about acquiring a skill, whether it's how to hold the leash or how to put out a target, or how to do, you know, the skills of loose leash walking. Those are all skills. So I need to make it smaller and we can build those things incrementally. But I need to stop talking in order for you to go, what did she say? And you can tell I talk fast and a lot. So it was a good tool for me to say, okay, I talked. Now give this what you want the learner to do. And a nice little package. Yes. Well, one specific and a package I can hand over to them and let them think about in their head instead of still talking them through it.
Okay. So can you give an example of one instruction for whatever we may, just one instruction that could show the people how it looks like in Tech Teach?
Sure. So I hope a lot of your listeners, maybe if they use clicker training, they have a treat bag or they have treats on them somewhere.
Absolutely.
And now I am not a professional dog trainer and dog trainers all have different ways. So I'm going to use an example, but if it's not the way you do it, that's
absolutely
fine. Yeah. Right. So one of the things that people I have worked with want is after you've delivered the treat, your hand should go to some neutral position that's not in reaching for the next treat.
Yeah.
And we say, don't do that because the dog's going to look at your hands and la, 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 la. So we tell them not what to do. So
yes.
What I can do is tell them all of that if I have to. And then I can say, okay, the instructions are, after delivering the treat, place the hand back on your belly button.
Yeah.
Wherever, we'll just use that. The tag point is hand to belly button.
Okay.
So again, I give them a real brief instruction for what they're going to do this time. And then I'm going to say, and when I watch you do it, I'm going to look for one thing and that's going to be success. So the instructions are, after delivering the treat, place the hand on the belly button. The tag point is hand to belly button.
Okay.
And when they do it, I can go, yes.
All right.
And that's it. And that's it. Or click, or shine a light, or shake my head once, yeah. whatever you want to do.
All right. So what is a tag point? Because some people may not know exactly what it is.
Yeah. So there are very few rules in Tag Teach. We offer some suggestions, but one of the rules are the tag point has some specifics, and it's called woof. At least in English, that means like a dog bark, so it worked out well. What is it in Polish?
It's in Polish, we have it wouldn't be like a dog bark is kind of something completely different. It's not woof. It's how. It would be how.
How?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I know it's always so. Woof is what you want. So often we'll say, don't put your hand back in the treat bag. So as a teacher, I now have to turn that around and say, if I saw what it did look like, what does that look like? So it has to be for what you do want. And that's really hard for teachers. excuse me. The first O is it has to be one thing at a time. So even though I want you to treat the dog and treat quickly and treat with this hand and then put the hand back here, a tag point will only be one of those things. The second O is it has to be observable so that I can see you do it and then mark it, which works well for behavior analysis because I know some of you work with behavior analysis and, excuse me, that has a lot to do with things that are observable. So that works well too. And the last one is 5 words or fewer. And that is a little tricky in different languages. but at least in English, we try to do 5 words or less. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can get it down to even one word if the learner understands your context. So I could even say the tag point is home. And because I said, take your hand to home in the instruction, my learner would know what that meant. Mm-hmm. So the fewer the words, the closer the learner is to doing the action. Mm-hmm. So if we're 10 minutes away from me asking them, I can talk and talk and talk. And then as I get closer, I'm going to give them that short instruction. And then right before they do the action, I'm just going to give them one thought, which is the woof. Which is a tag point. The tag point is made of woof. One thing at a time, what you want, one thing at a time, observable or measurable, and 5 words or fewer.
Okay, yes, I think because I've recently started level 1 certificate in Tag Teach.
Oh, yay.
And the 5 words or fewer rule has made such a difference in how I teach people because usually I try to write my tag point for them and I get like 8. And then I'm okay, I have to go below that. And usually means that I've made things too complicated and that I can break it down even into smaller tasks. So I think this is extremely useful and helpful and can really change your training into being more understandable.
Okay, you pass. You get your level 1. That's correct. And it's a good idea. I like that when you write it down, you can look at it and go, what can I get rid of? Sometimes it's hard when you're talking, but when you look it down, can I get rid of the pronouns? Can I get rid of I want you to? Because we're talking about a behavior. So when we start saying I want you, if they fail, they feel like not only did they fail themselves, but they failed you. And if we state it as just a behavior, just an action, hand to belly, it's more about just the action and less about me and how I might fail.
So it's less, also it's makes things more focused, as you said, on the action, on the behavior itself. And you don't think about, you don't need to just pick the important words out of the sentence also.
Yeah.
Get the essence.
Yes. Whatever the student can hold mentally as they perform it. And if I'm trying a new skill, I'm not going to be able to hold too many words because I have to transfer it into physicality and action. Yeah. So we want to give them just a little bit to hold on to.
Absolutely. And what you said at the beginning, which is the first letter, what you want is what is very difficult often because we focus on what we don't want, right?
Like
all the things that we don't want to see, and learners can be confused with that.
Yeah. Well, as a teacher, you already know what good looks like. Yeah. You have that picture. So everything else that catches your attention is what is wrong. Yes. But that learner doesn't have that picture. They don't have any picture at all. Mm. Excuse me. So you have to give them that picture that you already know is good. And then we just look at the outliers. Oh, that was wrong. That was wrong. But this is right.
Yeah.
So we have to give them the what is right first.
Absolutely. And this is very important. I mean, this perspective that we have already the picture of what is good and they don't. That's why we should do it. And often you hear people say, oh, don't put your hand inside the treat bag, right? As an example. But this is not what you really, it's the same with animals. And we sometimes think about it when we work with animals because we don't have a verbal skills and verbal behavior, but with humans, I think we are much less precise trainers when we work with people than when we work with animals.
Yeah.
And
yeah. We do a lot of assumptions. Yeah.
Yes. And tactics allows you to go away from the assumption, right?
It actually gives you the tools to do it. I think inside we all know that the learner doesn't know what we know, and that's why they're paying us or why we're teaching them. But it's hard to remember. And then when we do remember, we don't really have any tools. I know I should, mm-hmm. but how do I do that?
Okay.
And so that's why I think tag teach with the woof and the focus funnel and all of these easy to use tools. Mm-hmm. It says, go ahead and do what you know you should do. And this is an easy way to do it. So again, it's all about the teacher.
Yeah. And it gives the teacher the tools. So when you want to start with tag teach, one of our listeners wants to start and wants to know what he should do first to get more knowledge, where he should look for.
We actually have a free introductory course. If you go to the website, www.tagteach.com, mm-hmm. We have several courses. One of them is free. And it kind of covers what we're talking about now in a more organized way. We also have webinars that you can kind of pick and choose from that you say, hey, I really want to listen to a dog trainer talk about, or I want to listen to all these other ones. So there's webinars. There is Facebook. There are Facebook pages for dog trainers and for people trainers. And you can contact Joan at tagteach.com. She's kind of the mistress of all social media and all classes. And if they have more questions, they can contact her too. And then you said there is a course that if it does interest you, goes a little more in depth and gives you some things to practice. So, and that would be a pay course.
Absolutely. I will definitely upload some links that you mentioned in the description of our episode so people can go directly to the website and see if they are interested. And I definitely think they will be interested because I think TagTeach is, it's really something that can make you a much, much better trainer because it focuses not only on the skills of your learner, but also on your skills.
And yes.
This is crucial, I think, because we need to also be good at not only our knowledge, specific knowledge related to the topic we teach, but also how to give someone else this knowledge.
Yeah. It's great to have all that knowledge. It's great to go all to your podcasts and listen to all these things. And then you turn around and you're all excited and you want to transfer this knowledge and you're not quite sure where to go.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think TagTeach gives, as you said, tools, and it's very universal.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, we work with people who have no language or people who don't have the same language. In corporate and industrial training and animal training, again, it's if I have the knowledge, I can create tag points and I can create a setup that's easier for the learner.
How can we work with a different language person or with a person without language skills?
When they work with truly people with no language, with no verbal skills, and maybe even no, forgotten the word for it, but coming in skills, it looks much more like animal training. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean we do more capturing. There's a man on Facebook whose daughter had very limited verbal skills, and he has been really kind and brave to put all of his tag teach training in videos online. So you can see them on Facebook. His name is Sean Pogson.
Yes, he's amazing.
Have you seen some of his videos? Right?
I have him as my friend on Facebook, and I've been so inspired by his work.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, he came in knowing absolutely nothing, right? So he didn't spend thousands of dollars on courses. He did come to one course later on, but a lot of what he saw was just going to the YouTube videos and listening to people online. So a lot of these parents who have children with special needs, all of their money goes, right, for whatever they need, and they don't have a lot of money. So he learned so much, and now he's my teacher, right? I'm like, I didn't think of that. That's awesome. But he, in the beginning, just did a lot of micro shaping, just that capturing the smallest of thing. And Martha Gabler, mm-hmm. who she has her own website. Oh, I just forgot the name of it. AutismChaos.com.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She also has free courses. And then more in-depth courses. And she also has a book. And she worked with her son who was nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And she gives you real examples of if a child is screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming, how do you get them to know what it is you want? Mm-hmm. Well, she would capture a breath in between the screams and the cries. Right. So he'd be crying and crying, and he would take a breath to cry more. And she would tag that and try to reinforce it. So talk about learning to micro shape and to find the smallest success and then build upon that. Wow. Something that animal trainers do so well.
Yes, yes, because our learners don't have verbal skills usually.
Right,
and
right.
This is, I think also why tag teach, can we say that tag teach is also very effective because it's based on behavioral science? On the principles of learning, actually.
Yes, I think so. I have been told so. Again, I'm not a behavioral scientist by education, mm-hmm. but they do say that what we're doing mm-hmm. is all the practical application of the science. So good, yay! And we know, and because it works, that's it does show that science is legit, not legit, but works very well even for those of us who don't have college degrees, mm-hmm. because behavior and its consequences are behavior and its consequences.
Yes.
It's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
And we just have to be smart enough to learn it enough to observe it and say, I saw it, I can mark it, I can reinforce it.
Yes, because you will need skills of observing and picking out what was correct, what we can call success, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I find that the better animal trainer you are, mm-hmm. the actually harder this is. I'm not quite sure why, but I think the animal trainers are focused on not ever using language. And typically with our learners, we do have some language we can use. And so they try to shape every little thing for their human trainer. And I want to pull them back out a little bit and say, use your language to your benefit. And then when you're asking for the human to do the action, that's when you go down to that super, super small amount of words. And that's when you mark and that's reinforce. And it's hard for them to go, oh, that's right, I have words. I can communicate first with the words.
Yes, because we usually try to just limit our verbal cues to our learner, animal learner, absolutely. But I also interested because you said that usually what is reinforcing for the learner is the action, the possibility to try again, to have another success. And success can be defined as reaching the tech point. But
yes,
do you sometimes use some tangible reinforcers, something that you can actually deliver, or is it just at the very early stages and then you usually go away from it?
It depends. With the gymnast, I would be asking them to do things that were, I don't mean painful in a bad way, but mm-hmm. it might be excessive stretching, or they just don't want to do it. And to get them into the game, to get some behavioral momentum, sometimes we would use that. When I look back on that, I'm not truly sure that that was reinforcing their behavior of the skill. Mm. It was more of I was reinforcing the behavior of join me in this game.
Okay. Mm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does, absolutely.
Yeah. I might be wrong, but that's what I ended up after a year or so of going, here, take this candy, or here, take this sticker that you said you wanted, and why don't you want it now? That I see as a more, if no one's done this before and they might not trust you 100%, or they don't know that it's a game, that it'll be fun, that it'll be reinforcing. Mm-hmm. You could put the reinforcer out there to act as a reinforcer of playing this with me.
Okay.
Until you see how reinforcing a click or a yes can be and how safe this learning process is.
Absolutely. Okay. So, because sometimes you can also use, you said a sticker. So it doesn't have to, because I think some people may consider, okay, so I need to reinforce the behavior. So I need to find something that isn't reinforcing. And what you said, it's usually the action, that the tech point itself becomes reinforcer. But first, it may be the action of receiving something tangible, right? So a sticker, for example.
Yeah. Especially if they're not wanting to learn. So many of my students really want to succeed. Yeah. Adults typically really want to succeed because they're afraid of failure in front of someone else for some of the reasons. So if a person just doesn't care at all about what you're trying to have them learn, that's a good time to say, I might need to reinforce this participation in this tag with stickers or whatever is reinforcing for that learner. Okay. Sometimes in classrooms, we would use these layered things where the tag was reinforcing, and then the sticker was reinforcing. And then if you got 10 stickers, you would get something else, and you could build and build and build. I think there are other people who are better at that than I am. I really try to find a way to make you really want to play this game. Mm-hmm. And by winning this game is what's really reinforcing to you. So I'm not as good as, say, other behavior analysts who are pretty good at using tokens and stickers and things like that. Okay. Some people are so good at that.
Yes, but the main aim is to make the game itself reinforcing, right? Because we
yes.
want them to participate. And do you find it also the whole tag teach, that it changed how you work with, I mean, how you interact with people, and how you are, if you are better at explaining, even not in your profession, but sometimes when you talk to someone and want to explain something, do you use tag teach? Is it easier for you to sometimes use it?
I try. yes. And where I find it being useful is when I'm being taught. And I go, I'm scared. It's too much. You're going too fast, but I'm too embarrassed to let you know that. So a lot of us who at first taught with Tag Teach find that we're using it when being taught, especially by people who aren't in our business, who know they should break it down. And we kind of, in our mind, go, okay, she just told me three things. I'm going to pick one of those and focus on that. So yeah, I think people end up using it as a learner for themselves.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Because this is another great skill to have, if to pick out the correct the one part of the instruction, and to be able to do the training for ourselves.
Yeah. And we end up trying to shape our teachers one of the presentations I gave was, how do you help your teacher, right? Do what you need as a teacher. And so maybe we can go back and say, well, that was three different things. Can I work on one of those? And if so, which was the most important one first? So we try to use these skills to help shape our teachers to understand more what we need as learners. Or some people say, could you just say yes at the moment I do it? And that kind of helps teach our teachers without them having to go through the whole tag teach process and explain something that they may not be interested in yet.
Wonderful. And can we work with using tag teach with a group, or is it only limited to individual training one-to-one?
So what we did use, because a lot of our learners were more than one in a class, when you break it down to something that when I tag, you know, you did, then I should, as a learner, I should be able to turn around and watch another learner do that and tag them. Right. Huh. Since it's so simple, even though I only learned it once or did it once, it's only one thing. If I could do it, I should be able to see it. So we call this peer tagging. So once I taught it to one person, that person can teach it to another, and those two can turn around and teach, you know what I mean? So they can just get into groups and start tagging each other. And it's a really wonderful way to level the group. We had some orthopedic surgeons who, some were 4 years into the school, and they were having to work with the first year students, and they were kind of like, I'll show you. But when they were peer tagging and only looking at the behavior and not the person doing the behavior, they settled into helping each other and looking for what was right instead of what was wrong. So although in the beginning we did try going tag, 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 tag in a classroom situation, and I think some teachers are better at it than I am and have found ways to do it, the one-on-one is most powerful to me. And if I can create multiple teachers and have them go back and forth, then I can work in a classroom. And so I could actually have all of my students tagging each other, and then I can go from group to group and just make sure everything's going the right way, maybe make a change. And then that way I can work with a whole group, and all of them are still getting one-on-one. I'm doing this behavior. I did it. Reinforcement or a mark and reinforce.
Wow.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
This is very interesting, because I think that often we are better understanding something if we can explain it to the other person.
Yes. Yes.
This would be another benefit of peer tagging, because they get to practice, they learned it. So now they can kind of like verify if they really learned it.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is wonderful. And this is very, it can be used, as you said, because you said you use it in a classroom. So probably with kids, with teenagers, and then with surgeons who learn to do something more advanced. But is it more or less advanced? It's another thing, because when we look into a specific behavior, then we don't need to say, oh, this is a very difficult training. We can only focus on this one skill at a time.
Yes. Yes. And to your point, one of the interesting things is that if I'm watching those two students tag each other, if the one student who is doing the marking or the tagging is tagging incorrectly, I know they don't understand it. Oh. Right? So if they're tagging early or later, just some strange tag in the middle of nowhere, without them having to fail in front of me, I go, I need to work with that person more, because they're not marked. They don't see the spot that I need them to see. Mm-hmm. So it's a real assessment tool for the teacher. Yeah. And that's why I like to walk around and see, not only is the student doing it, but is the person marking seeing the right thing that we're looking for? And of course, when you're looking at something, you're learning, because you're looking to see if it's right. So you have to do all the processing that says that's right and that's wrong.
Yeah.
So even as the teacher, I'm still practicing the skill a little more mentally, but.
Yes, because you need to, because we often know how the final product looks like in our head, when because we do something for so many years that it's almost a reflex for us. And then when we have to explain it, then it seems that we need to really think through what are the exact steps of what we are doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The curse of knowledge, we call that.
Yes.
Not we, it's called, I didn't come up with that, but I wish I did. But yeah, that curse of knowledge keeps us from progressing or being able to break things down as a teacher. Just, you know, teach your children to tie their shoe. We've done it so many times that parents go, I can't do it. I can't get them to do it, but I can do it. Or teach somebody to walk it's fascinating that once we know how to do it, it is so hard to break it back down again. And this forces you to, in a nice way.
So we need to, because how deep should be this break of skills then? I mean, what we should think as when we want to teach the skill someone some skill, what should we pick at as our first tack point? Is there a general rule that we should follow?
That's a really good question. Again, I think you're passing your level one right now. You're coming up with all the good questions.
When I pass it, really, and I would like to have another conversation with you when I'm on the level two.
Yeah. Then you'll just, I won't be able to answer anymore. Wait, what was the question?
The general first tack point. Yeah,
so we call that the point of success. And it's a little confusing because you would think the tag point is the point of success, but what we meant by that is look to where your learner is succeeding, start there, and then add one small step. So for several reasons, one thing is we like to succeed. So if I'm attempting something I can already do and show you as the teacher, that's already going to set me in a better mood than, all right, I'm going to teach you something new. You've never done it before, and the first time we work with each other, you're going to fail or feel really nervous. So if you start with something, even you can even just say, well, let's review this one thing. Mm-hmm. Feed the dog, return the hand to home, tag point is hand to home. Now, they may already know that, but that first session might be a good place to start. And then how far you go is really up to you and your relationship with the learner. Hopefully, you'll have some idea of where, and if not, that's okay. You're just going to go all the way back, and it shows you, if you don't jump too far, it shows you you can only go from here to here to pick out the next tag point as opposed to here and here. So even if it was too hard in the beginning, what we tell the learner is it was information about what I chose, not for information about whether you succeeded or not, right? So it wasn't their fault if they failed. It was information for me to know where to go. So it's really never the, and this was hard for me as a teacher to reconcile with, but it's not the student's fault ever. Even if they run out of the room screaming, right? I didn't set some kind of learning up for this person. And as a gymnastic coach, everything was, you weren't listening. You didn't practice hard enough. You didn't do enough push-ups, all your fault, right? And for me to go, no matter what, it's my responsibility, was really hard. But once I got over it, it made teaching interesting for me again, right? Because now I had to really think and play and be active again instead of saying after the 20th year of coaching, do it again, I already told you. And you get into that trap. Yeah, try harder. I asked this one little girl once, I said, I just explained this. Why didn't you do it? And she just looks up at me with these eyes and she says, I was in the bathroom. So she wasn't there when I explained it. But when you've got a bunch of kids, sometimes they run off. So you never know why the learner didn't get it. But whatever reason is that they failed is information for me to change it for you, right? Which kinds of set them at ease. And not that you don't have to try. I'm not a sugary sweet teacher. Oh, that's okay. You're perfect just the way you are. No. We're a team. I need to figure this out. So it's just about us working together, not about you being wrong. It's about the behavior, not you, not me, the behavior. Let's figure out how to get the behavior.
Mm-hmm. So it's not about you being wrong or right, or the learner being right or wrong, but it's more about if you can, as a teacher, it's your responsibility to make the process go smoothly and to create the environment that will facilitate the behavior happening. best.
Yes.
But it's not, even if you fail, maybe this is the not the correct word to use, but if you are not successful with the first tack point, mm-hmm. then it's just a feedback.
Exactly.
You shouldn't also, because we maybe learn not to blame the student, the learner, but then we also shouldn't blame ourselves.
Yeah. And that's where it's important to look at the action that we've asked them to do as a behavior, right? This is where we're meeting. Here's the student and here's the teacher, that Venn diagram thing. We're here in the middle and it's about the behavior, not about the people on either side being wrong or right. It's like you said, brilliant the way you said it. It's about the action. Did it happen or not? And then it's just a puzzle. Whether it happened or not is just a puzzle piece that we need to turn or flip over or turn around or whatever.
So tack point can, even if you have a class of people and you work with each one of them, the tack point can sometimes be different for each of them. The first one, even if you teach the same skill, you can start with a different
sure. tack point. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you begin to work with, maybe you have people who you worked with a long time, I will ask them to come up with their own tag point. Now they may not be able to define it perfectly, but they'll be able to say, what I need to work on is this the right tag point? And I can go, perfect. Let's practice that. Or let me, sand off some edges and give you a better one. But once we start having them think like that in these tag points and these individual successes, the learner learns to start to do it for themselves. Just like you said earlier, right? You've already started doing it for yourself. Oh, I need to break that down. Yeah. And that's what we ultimately want as teachers, is to be able to leave and to have them do it on their own, right? We don't want to be by their side every second saying, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. We want them to be able to say, ah, that didn't happen. How can I break that down for myself and start smaller?
Yes, and I think it would be so useful if tack teach learning was used in schools also, because it would turn, I think at least in Poland, we still have a very old type learning style in schools. And often what we need, I think, is more, it's cleaner explanation and more, as you said, more efficiency built into how we learn and how to make it more, the most efficient, because this is what tag teach definitely does.
It makes more. Well, and we're going to have to start with teaching our teachers, right? We can't just say, you're going too fast or you're being too harsh or you're not doing it. They need the training and they need to be reinforced for using it, right? I needed to be reinforced because I knew my way so well beforehand and it worked for me. I was successful. So why would I change? So those little steps that teachers take, like agreeing to break it down or letting me practice more than once, that's a big one for me, is we go, good job. Okay, now. We give them the next piece and we right away. So each time they start to use some of these tools, they need to feel reinforced. And hopefully their students learning better will help that. Mm-hmm. But I think if we're going to get it into the school systems, the teacher training needs to be just as reinforcing, because it's going to be a big change for them when they're already busy and they're already overloaded. Again, I don't know how it is there, but our classrooms are so huge over here that they're just overwhelmed. Absolutely. Yeah, I can imagine.
And I think that also what you said, the teachers should be reinforced. I think it also is in every field, actually, because when you're a dog trainer and you've been doing this for many years and you are successful, then why would you change, right?
Exactly.
And definitely there will be people who will say that, why would I use it? It's just I can communicate normally with my students. And then they will need to see how it can influence their work and how it can make it better.
Yeah. Well, the first thing they'll have to say is, what's reinforcing to me? Is more money, is keeping my clients, is seeing them successful. We all have different things that are reinforcing for us as teachers. So the first thing we want to ask them is to try this first step with tag teach, which may just be, it just depends on the person, but maybe just what we call going on a word diet, right? And just thinking about using less words. And then how do we reinforce them for that? How does the student come out of there and go, wow, that felt so good. I understood more. And I bet you then that's the reinforcement cycle for teachers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Wonderful. I mean, there are so many applications when you think about tactics, and I think that people after listening to you and then going to websites, that they will get definitely more interested, and maybe some people will even decide to go and do a certificate.
Oh, that's great. And oh, I forgot to mention before, I did put out a book this year. I keep forgetting that I did that.
I will add a link to the Amazon.
Okay. Don't nag, tag. Mm-hmm. But it is only in English right now, so apologize for that. It's hard enough getting that out.
But yes, it's a wonderful book, and definitely is a great start, I think, for many who want to learn more about tactics.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
So thank you so much. I think.
Well, let me ask you real quick, if we have another second. So you've been thinking about it. You've been taking the level one. Have you tried to think about it as you're teaching now? And have you been successful and reinforced for it?
Yes, really. Right now, when I'm preparing some lectures for my students in my online classes, and I'm doing a new material, and I'm revisiting the old material because I want to change so many things to make it easier. And even doing the work again and again, because I need to revise the lectures, and even though they were written, because they were written previously before my tech teach course. And right now, it's reinforcing for me to even go to those old lectures and change them.
But I'm gonna be the podcast director here now. Okay. What was reinforcing? Do you know what makes you want to go back and rework them? What success have you had?
My students told me that the tack points were great. And
okay.
They learned, they are so clear, and that they were so it was easier for them, that they progress quicker and they are happy. I see that they want to try again, even if they fail, even if something is not successful, even if my tack point was not good for this particular learner, then he will just come back to me and say, oh, I think we should try it differently. And this is great. And also I see that one thing I was struggling with in dog training and teaching people was that I wanted to be so precise, and I'm like a precision geek a little bit, and that I want them to do this, and this simultaneously. And I had really some troubles with picking out the most important one. Like, what will be the most important? I just told them that.
They're all important.
Yeah, they're all important. You need to keep your hands neutral. You need to have a good timing and all those things. And then when I started to just, okay, now we will focus only on this. I don't care what else you do. I even don't care what your dog does in the moment. Often when I work with people, I need to focus on their skills before we, you know, even look at the dog. So sometimes they have a teddy bear, and they work with a teddy bear, and then they go to a dog because we can focus on the mechanic skills. But when we add a living dog, I still often want them just to focus on one thing, either if it is their skill or if it's a new skill for a dog, then I want them to focus only on dog. So then I'm okay if they don't do something more advanced related to their skills.
Right.
And they are, the feedback I get is that it's so much easier to progress now. So even especially the moments that are challenging, and when I'm not perfect trainer and I failed to pick the right tack point, or my progression was not best for this team, dog and handler, they go just, oh, okay, let's try again.
That's interesting. So not only have you been using Tag Teach for yourself, but they have picked up on what you are doing and now are able to help themselves, or help you help them. Ah! Well done. Well done.
Yes, yes. And this is why I'm really right now recommending Tactics to everyone. That's why I'm really thrilled to have you in the podcast, because I think that people that this news will spread and people will learn more and more about it, because it's really a mind-changing concept.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I'm so proud of you. Well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you for introducing me and doing all the work you have done with TechTeach, because it's, I think if we really look into it and use it, then we can benefit not only us, but our learners. And this is really wonderful.
Yeah. So my suggestion is, if people are looking at this, is just start with that, try, and I think you're doing it perfect way, as you're looking at it and just editing words out is a really good way to start. You want to be careful about wanting to take everything and making a tag point out of it. It's too much concentration, and people will say, stop, I don't want to do it anymore. So even just what you found, right, reducing the words, looking for what you want, is the best place to start. Yeah.
Yeah, just focus on what you want, I think. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I really was excited to talk to you. I know you've been talking to, you were with some of the people at Expo, Eva and Emily and some of our other...
Dr. Friedman,
yeah, all help us put together TagTeach. It's definitely a group project. So we're interested in whatever you have to offer to give back to the community, whatever you found. We'll be interested to hear.
Thank you so much for being a guest today. I had a wonderful time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Nancy Thacker will be our next guest, and the next episode of the Dark Real Talk program will cover classical conditioning and more. Subscribe to be on time.